We celebrate today the solemnity of the Feast of the Holy Eucharist, Corpus Christi, which is Latin for the Body of Christ. The Holy Eucharist is, in a way, is the center of our faith. It is the real presence of our Lord here on earth. We adore our Lord in this sacrament when we offer Him in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and even when we come to the church to pray to Him. But most of all, we honor Him when we receive Him into our hearts in Holy Communion. In this sacrament, He is the food of our souls. He strengthens us, and He fills us with His grace every time we receive Him. Now, we have all received Holy Communion in our lives many times, just about all of us. But many of us, unfortunately, are still weak and lukewarm and sinful. And we may not have seen the fruits of sanctification in our souls that we should have seen from receiving this sacrament. Now, certainly the fault of that cannot be on our Lord's end of things. It's certainly our own fault if we are not sanctified the way we should be by this sacrament. So I wanted to talk today about how to get the greatest possible benefit from this beautiful and powerful sacrament. We certainly have to cooperate with the effects of this sacrament, even though the power of that, of the grace, comes from God, not from us. We have to approach Holy Communion with a desire, first of all, to receive the graces it gives us. And we also have to use the grace that we do receive when we receive Holy Communion. We have to prepare our souls in advance for this holy sacrament, and a lot of times that is the problem in our holy communions, that we are not making the right preparation. First of all, we have to be in the state of sanctifying grace to receive Holy Communion worthily. Anyone who receives our Lord in the state of mortal sin commits a terrible profanation against Him. This is a great sacrilege and one of the greatest sins that a person can commit. It is like a physical attack on our Lord Himself, on His sacred body. St. Paul says that anyone who receives the body of Christ unworthily is eating his own condemnation. And this desecration of the Holy Eucharist, of receiving it in mortal sin, often leads people to hardness of heart and deadens their conscience. Apart from mortal sin, though, if we are in the state of sanctifying grace, we can certainly receive Holy Communion if we only have venial sin on our souls. But even venial sin will diminish the power of the sacrament, especially deliberate venial sins, in which we deliberately and consciously choose to do something wrong, even if it is only venially sinful. People who commit a lot of the sins of that kind deprive themselves of a lot of the graces they would otherwise receive in Holy Communion. So we have to have a habitual desire to please God in all things and avoid every possible sin. St. Gertrude once asked our Lord how to prepare for Holy Communion, and He said, "I ask nothing more than that you come to me with an empty heart," meaning a heart that is empty of the love of the world or of ourselves or of anything except God. When we prepare for the coming of our Lord into our hearts, we have to remember, first of all, what a great event it is for Him to come to us. When a great man gives a speech somewhere, there's always a huge crowd of people that want to see him, and everyone tries to get as close to him as they can to hear him speak and get his attention and ask him for some favor or something like that. And there is a huge amount of preparation that goes into inviting this great person to that town or place. So for us, when our Lord comes into our hearts, He is coming only for us. We have to have a similar amount of concern and care in making a fitting preparation for Him. Even in the Old Testament, when King David was making plans to build the temple to be the house of God, he'd set aside enormous quantities of gold and silver and precious stones to use in building this temple. And people asked him why he was going to use such a vast amount of precious metal to build a temple. And he said, "The work is great, for a house is not prepared for man, but for God." God was not even really present in that temple in the Old Testament in the way that he is truly present in, of course, churches in the Catholic Church, but in our souls when he comes into us in Holy Communion. And the better of a preparation we make, the more grace we will receive. There was a priest once who said that many people get almost as little benefit from receiving Holy Communion as the walls of the church in which the Blessed Sacrament is preserved. So we have to be filled with the love of God, or he said the reason for that is because these people's hearts are as hard and as cold as the walls of the church that the Blessed Sacrament is kept in. And so we have to be filled with the love of God. And when we receive communion, we have to talk to our Lord personally as a friend when he comes into our hearts, and we have to adore him and give him our love. There was one time St. Margaret Mary had a vision during Mass when the priest was distributing Holy Communion. She saw our Lord in each host that was being distributed. And she saw that for some of the people, our Lord stretched out his arms eagerly towards them and was joyful to go into their hearts, while there were others that he was very reluctant to enter into. And there were even some of them that he appeared to be tied with ropes, and the ropes were being used to drag him into their hearts against his will. And he explained after Mass to St. Margaret Mary what this meant, that the souls that he was happy to enter were people that always tried to please him. But the ones that whom he didn't want to receive him were lukewarm and sinful Christians whose hearts were full of attachments to sin. And the ropes that were dragging him into their hearts were the promises that he has made to us and the law that he made for himself when he instituted this sacrament, that he would allow himself to enter, to be placed into the heart of anyone who came to receive him without making any resistance, even if they were great sinners. So someone might wonder, how should we make a good preparation for Holy Communion? And we can start answering that by just thinking about what the Church says to us right before giving us this Holy Sacrament in Mass. She quotes the words of the centurion in the Gospel, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come into my heart, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed." The centurion said, "Come into my home, and my servant will be healed." But the Church applies this idea to us. And so that is the spirit we need. And our Lord was so pleased at what the centurion said to him that he healed the man's servant and praised him for his strong faith. The centurion expressed a great love and honor for our Lord when he said this, and a great sense of his own unworthiness, but an immense confidence in our Lord also at the same time. All three of those things are very important for us to have when we receive communion. First of all, we have to remember our own unworthiness. Who is it that is coming into our hearts? It is our Creator, our God, who has given us everything that we have, who keeps us in existence, who is all-powerful, all-wise, and all-good. He loves us so much that he came down from heaven to be born into this world to die for our sins. He is our good shepherd who goes after his lost sheep. And to whom is he coming? He is coming to us, miserable sinners. We have not done what he has created us to do. We have wasted many of his graces and sinned against him and been ungrateful to him. We have to think about the infinite distance between God and ourselves and how perfect he is and how unworthy we are. When St. Jerome was on his deathbed and he was brought his holy viaticum, his last holy communion, he said, "Lord, why dost thou lower thyself to so much as to come to a publican and sinner, not only to eat with him, but even to be eaten by him?" So if a great saint like St. Jerome, who spent his whole life doing incredible penance, felt so unworthy in God's presence, how much more should we humble ourselves? But we have to be resolved to make ourselves as worthy as we can by avoiding sin. When the publican knelt at the back of the church and told God that he was unworthy and asked for God's mercy, he was filled at the same time with a determination to amend his life. And as our Lord said, he went home forgiven. That is the condition that we have to fulfill. We have to have an intention to do better. But when we think about our own unworthiness, we have to ask ourselves the next logical question, which is, then why does God come into our hearts if he is so perfect and we are so unworthy? It is certainly not because he needs anything from us. We can't make him any richer or happier or give him anything that he doesn't already have. He is perfectly happy. But it is his love for us that makes him want to come into our hearts that we don't deserve in the slightest. He wants to come to us to apply to us the fruits of his redemption. When he comes and he heals us of our sins, and he strengthens us against future sin, that is accomplishing our redemption. That is why he died for us on the cross, in order to save us from our sins. He is the one that is operating in this sacrament, though, not us. We have to remember that, too. He created us and redeemed us, and now in Holy Communion, he is coming to us to pour out on us his love and his generosity. And in Holy Communion, he strengthens our will to do his will more easily. He heals our faults also. He forgives us our sins that we are sorry for. He receives us the way the father of the prodigal son received his sinful and ungrateful child. He kills the fatted calf, and he has a huge celebration and honors us. He gives us the best that he has. All these things are what our Lord does to our souls every time he comes to us in Holy Communion. But instead of feeding us a fatted calf, like in the parable, he feeds us his own flesh and blood. And we have to say, like the prodigal son, "Lord, I am not worthy to be called thy son." But that didn't matter to the father. The father didn't care. He was overjoyed to have his son back, and that is how our Lord is with us. This is why we have to have great confidence in our Lord, especially in Holy Communion. This is the third idea we need to have when we receive Holy Communion. And that confidence has to come from the balance of the other two ideas, our own worthlessness and weakness on the one hand, and God's unfathomable love and generosity on the other, as well as God's infinite power to do anything that he wants. God's grace is something more powerful than we can imagine, and it can change our souls. When he comes to our souls, his hands are filled with grace. And so we have to have a great desire for the grace he's offering to us and a desire to make use of it, to put it into practice by sanctifying ourselves and loving him more and avoiding sin. Now, someone might say, I try to do all of these things when I receive Holy Communion, but it seems too hard. I always feel dry and cold, and I don't think I have a great love for our Lord in Holy Communion. Well, our Lord gives us an answer to this also. In a revelation he gave to Saint Matilda, he told her that she should just wish that she had the fervor of the greatest saints when she received Holy Communion. And even if she actually didn't, our Lord would accept her desire as if it were actually the case. So the same applies to us too, that all we need is the desire to receive Holy Communion fervently and the desire to amend our lives. And that is all that our Lord wants and all that we need in order to receive the benefits of this sacrament. Let us offer to our Lord whatever we have, even the small amount of love that we have for him. Let us offer that to him. It is like when a poor person gives a gift, he gives something that costs only a small amount of money, if that's all he has. But people are grateful to receive something like that, regardless, even if the gift itself is not worth that much, because it is still being offered with that person's love. And our Lord is the same with us. We are miserable beggars in comparison with him, but we have to offer him everything that we have. So let us receive Holy Communion as well as we can, not just avoiding mortal sin, but also venial sin as much as possible, especially ones that are deliberate, because they diminish our love for God. We have to have greater detachment from this world and from created things and be mortified and practice the fear of God and the virtues. On the evening before we receive communion, we should think about what we are going to do the following day and prepare our souls for it. And also when we get up in the morning on the day when we will be going to Mass, we should think ahead also and ask our Lord to help us receive Holy Communion well and make acts of humility and contrition for our sins and also of confidence in God. If we do that, then as our Lord tells us, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abideth in me and I in him, and I will raise him up on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.